Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. This is an original, in-depth investigative report. We're beginning with Wikipedia, our new technological McCarthyism, part one, with resident scholar Richard Gale and myself. Today, the Internet, often thought of as our world's final frontier for free thinkers, and the flow and exchange of ideas and information is seriously ill. It has been systematically infected by ideological viruses, memes of information intent on poisoning freedom of expression that we take for granted every time we use Google or visit Facebook. YouTube is also there, and now the online encyclopedia Wikipedia. Censorship is not limited to the government's attempts to silence all who are in dissent. And yet, when it succeeds, society is greatly hindered because people no longer have easy access to the whole truth. Censorship is one of the most effective ways to lessen people's longer interest in issues of freedom. They become numb to the faculties of critical thought. And because the media and having access to news and a wide variety of interpretations and opinions is at our fingertips, it has become a critical part of our daily lives. A censored story is an uneducated society. It destroys progress and can even destroy careers and reputations and personal lives. Over the years, we have witnessed a slow and emerging awakening to the falsehoods behind government and corporate interest. The Internet and its technologies have been largely responsible for this gradual awakening, evidenced by the growing distrust and suspicion towards an oligarchy wishing to control what and where we can view things, what we can read. This suspicion is healthy even when it means that many find themselves increasingly confused. Yet this sense of freedom, the allowance to be dubious about fake news and manicured knowledge being fed to us, is fragile and even in peril. An issue grossly ignored is that with all the new technology and enormous advertising campaigns on Google and Facebook and YouTube, the two younger generations rely upon social media daily. Rarely do they consider the level and depth that propaganda holds over their lives. During the boomer generation through the 1960s and 70s, support for free speech and holding a healthy skepticism towards federal agencies like the CIA and the Pentagon and the FBI, and most importantly against the mainstream media, it actually strengthened critical thought. Today's generation gives no thought towards the content in agreements they accept to use social media platforms. For example, recently, it was announced that Yahoo's new system will require access to information about your personal bank account and all of your credit card purchases in order to sell to third parties. Consequently, virtually nothing in our lives will be private. Sadly, there is no sense of betrayal. There is no sense of apprehension and fear, and no efforts to protest these actions. To the contrary, people will simply accept YouTube's terms blindly. In our era of fake news, from all sides of the political spectrum, we are rapidly sacrificing our common sense and reason to illusion and gut emotional reactions. Our compromised and biased mainstream media is now utterly devoid of truth and integrity and completely beholden to party storylines. Complex national and global issues are reduced to simplistic and infantile images of mass consumption of that, and then they, the public, is supposed to interpret it in a proper way. The recent revelations about Facebook's misappropriation of its users' personal information should be a trumpet blast, a wake-up call to action Tens of millions have been naively duped into the easy and free access to social media and the myth of untethered free expression promised by Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Medium and other internet platforms. And although Silicon Valley's technological capacity for global surveillance and the censorship has long been a worrisome problem on the internet, Trump's handling of fake news as the centerpiece of his campaign and presidency granted Facebook and Google, and more recently Wikipedia, a green light to increase censorship of dissenting and alternative news and opinions, even scientific facts. Recently, YouTube announced it will flag videos it believes to communicate falsehoods and add links to Wikipedia. Yet Wikipedia, as this series will put forth, is by no means a reliable resource for objective intelligence and knowledge, which is reason enough for universities to flag it as a capricious source for responsible research. This should raise serious concerns. Wikipedia is another internet behemoth. And like the other tech giants, it is horribly compromised by biases and preferential treatment to private interest groups and extremist ideologies. This is what we have found. This is our opinion. Wikipedia's ideological bias and favoritism is to communities hiring and recruiting armies of internet trolls has been responsible for ruining the reputations and tainting the careers of numerous people, notably health professionals and academics, who fail to live, teach, and practice in alignment with Wikipedia's very narrow scientific criteria for what is deemed as legitimate proven facts. When a belief system becomes a dogma, an ideological doctrine, debate and conversation shut down. Unpopular views on controversial subjects are jeopardized, or even popular common sense views are silenced. Only a single message to propagandize in opposition positions that have their own body of commendable evidence are blocked out or censored. Very early on, Wikimedia Foundation, the parent organization behind Wikipedia, has become possessed by ideology and increasingly manipulates its control over content in specific subjects. Discussed below, in a cult-like manner, my opinion, in short, it is riddled with identity policies. Sophisticated technological algorithms for internet surveillance, utilized to their full extent by the large internet giants, have created what the father of virtual reality, Jaron Lanier, argues is a, quote, behavior modification empire. Facebook, for example, should no longer be regarded as social media. In Silicon Valley's private corporations and regressive social movements, and the federal and private intelligence agencies are all too eager to take full advantage of this internet crisis. The tech companies have essentially shut down the public commons that once upon a time promised a cyber utopia, a free and unencumbered internet that would gather people globally together. Sadly, in its place has sprung up a shadow techno regime dominated by the internet's ruling corporate regime, the billionaires, all too willing to sell their legally taken information for enormous client fees. In return, illusions of a functioning democracy, Huxley's Soma, are spoon-fed to the masses, seduced by the theater of images flashed across our monitors and mobile screens, rather than the darker underpinnings behind this total charade. Erringly, we believe we are completely free to express ourselves, share opinions, and find new friends with common values and to organize together. Yet how many people actually knew that every bit of information we share on Facebook with family and friends, groups and organizations, and environmental, political, and social activists, causes, would be gathered to generate profiles about our behaviors, and then turn this personal information into commodities to be used by the private and federal elites? the scandal behind the collaboration between Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, the latter founded by right-wing ideologues and white nationalists, Trump supporters, has shown us the serious threats to personal freedom when every message and file and photo we've ever sent or been sent, whenever personal contact on our mobile phones, even audio messages, have been hoarded for the benefit of third parties, the least dangerous being advertisers. Likewise, Google traces everywhere that you have been or traveled and knows exactly where we are on the map in real time. As long as your mobile phone is in your possession, Google can always find you. You can even access a log and map of everywhere you have been for the past year, including how long it took you to get from home to visit your grandmother for the holidays. Google gathers every piece of data on your computer and your phone, including the search and browse histories. Even though you delete information or may happen to lose data, it remains in Google's memory vaults. And this is not done secretly. Google is completely transparent about its intrusion into our private lives. And anyone can request and receive a file of everything the megacorporation has collected about us. One individual, Dylan Curran, accessed and downloaded his personal Google file. It was 5.5 gigabytes. That's roughly equivalent to 3 million average-size Word documents. What Google actually does with this massive data collection is another matter. In effect, the subconscious script behind Facebook and Google and other multinational internet media is designed to convert our lives into commodities and then convert commodities into dead money. Lanier would consider this to be a severe threat to our species. Quote, "We cannot have a society," he said at a TED Talk, "if two people wish to communicate with each other, and the only way it can happen is if it is financed by a third party who wishes to manipulate them." But commodifying our personal lives to sell to advertisers is far more innocent than other insidious practices that target people for corporate, financial, or national security and political benefit. We can be sure that Uncle Sam's official spooks have immediate access to all of our personal information. In 2011, Stratfor, a private intelligence firm in Austin, Texas, was infiltrated by the hacker group Anonymous. Stratfor is one of the largest private intelligence and surveillance contractors for the National Security Agency and other federal intelligence agencies. The hack required addresses, acquired addresses, and credit card information and bank accounts and passwords for hundreds of thousands of citizens. Knowing enough about the people is often the single most important weapon to be used against them. That is what made the Inquisition so successful in spreading fear over medieval Spain and Italy to keep citizens weak and passive. And all of this is available to the National Security Agency to keep a vigilant eye on the American public. In 1954, the great French sociologist, philosopher, Christian anarchist Jacques Ellul foresaw that every form of technology would end up becoming a form of control and power and means to achieve efficiency. The technological drive to gather more and more personal information on citizens, whether by Facebook or Google, and for the benefit of federal agencies and political parties and private corporations, which reward and shower favors upon these firms, is itself an attempt to manipulate the public's uncertainty and confusion. Most criticism is rightly directed against Google and Facebook. Nevertheless, Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia project of the Media Wiki Foundation, headquartered in San Francisco, remains relatively unscathed. Undeservingly, it has managed to remain marginal from the light of public scrutiny. Rather than participating in intelligence gathering into private citizens' lives, it has become the Internet's monolithic gatekeeper and controller of free encyclopedic knowledge. And although it has its critics, often those who have experienced Wikipedia's culture of victimization and abuse, the controversy surrounding Wikipedia are given no attention, zero, by the mainstream media. Acting freely from third-party advertising, draped in the security of its not-for-profit status, it has become an invaluable resource to the lives of hundreds of millions of people. Minimal efforts are made to investigate whether Wikipedia, too, has hidden agendas that adversely affect the public, or whether the foundation is actively participating in stealth censorship. We know this to be a fact from firsthand experience. Do a Google search on any subject or notable person, and Wikipedia will often be the first site to pop up in your browser. It describes itself as a free content encyclopedia and uses a platform that portends to be open for editing content. This has been one of the encyclopedia's admirable appeals, as well as its curse. However, there is an undeniable evidence that the site has injured the lives and careers of many innocent people, especially in the field of medicine and healthcare, and people who seek truth outside the confines of corporate sciences corridors in a quasi-libertarian objectivist universe. The sheer size of the encyclopedia is imposing. It is unquestionably the single largest juggernaut for online information. According to statistics compiled by DMR, a digital marketing collection firm, Wikipedia hosts over 5.5 million articles, adds 600 new articles daily, 18 billion pages are viewed weekly, and there's also 137,000 active writers and editors composing and editing articles in 280 languages, 13% in English. On the other hand, the foundation itself only employs about 300 people. It is also the first to appear in 99% of Internet searches. Supposedly, Wikipedia has no employed editors. Content and edits are performed exclusively by volunteers. Now, this does not mean that editors are not being paid by other third parties, including on behalf of huge multinational corporations and advocacy groups and think tanks and PR firms and even governments, including their intelligence agencies and their militaries. In 2009, Virgil Griffith, a 24-year-old researcher at the Santa Fe Institute, one of the world's preeminent progressive think tanks for systems theory, created a program called the Wiki Scanner, which, quote, tracks computers used to make changes and edits to Wikipedia entries. Griffith was inspired to design the scanner after he learned about U.S. congressional legislators whitewashing the content on their Wikipedia biographies. In 2014, the foundation banned all computers within the U.S. Congress from editing privileges. Griffith's Wiki Scanner identified CIA and FBI computers editing Wikipedia content, including the doctoring of facts concerning the U.S. invasion of Iraq, such as casualty numbers and human rights crimes committed at Guantanamo Prison. He also identified computers at numerous organizations and private corporations engaged in editing activities. Senior Wikipedia editors who have succeeded in making thousands of edits and therefore understand the game's rules have turned their expertise into consulting businesses for paying clients. And although Wikipedia's co-founder Jimmy Wales has strongly forbidden this activity, it is nonetheless widespread because the foundation has lost control, in my opinion, over the huge army of known anonymous editors and trolls and sock puppets and even algorithmic bots who operate independently. This is further evidence of how chaotic Wikipedia has become, and one among the reasons why a growing number of colleges and universities forbid students from citing Wikipedia articles as reliable sources in their course assignments. On the other hand, Wikipedia has also become a source of widespread disinformation, and we will support our opinions substantially, as you will see. And this is especially on current events and controversial health, social, and political issues. To the encyclopedia's detriment, the foundation has had a history of providing a platform for select independent factions to propagandize dogmatic and fundamentalistic views. Frankly, it is utter foolish to assume that everything on Wikipedia is honest and factual. One man rose through the editorial ranks to become a Wikipedia site administrator, claiming to be a tenured religious professor with a doctorate in theology. Later, it was discovered he was a high school dropout, and likewise, many skeptic trolls control the wiki pages about alternative medicine, natural health, and the paranormal. Most have no medical background, no expertise in healthcare, and in a private conversation with one Wikipedia editor who has gone head-to-head with skeptic trolls to correct falsehoods and abusive language in the wiki entries for the celebrities Deepak Chopra and biologist Rupert Sheldrake, Rome Vajero jokingly said most of these trolls are tech geeks who are likely mentally unstable and on psychiatric medications. His comments, subjective, of course, not mine. As we have discovered, behind the scenes and hidden from the public's view, it is my opinion that Wikipedia is a viper's pit. Its editorial culture is plagued with wiki wars, conflicts between antagonist groups fighting for control over content. Perhaps this would be fine if the foundations remained an innocent bystander, allowing editors to battle on the facts and falsehoods based upon Wikipedia's own consensus guidelines to rule what is reliable, objective information. Unfortunately, that is not the case. And because Wales is fully aware of these serious problems, he and his foundation are complicit, in my opinion, for allowing extremist parties to run rampant and freely in the editorial community. Therefore, a consequence is that the Media Wiki Foundation has become increasingly authoritarian in order to cover up its internal chaos. All who have failed to clean up the massive falsehoods and venomous text on their personal wiki pages can attest to the foundation's culture of deception and censorship that riddles the encyclopedia. In his blog, Wikipedia, We Have a Problem, Vajero describes the immensity of the problem. Quote, there is a disturbing pattern of behaviors evolving across Wikipedia. A number of skeptic activists on Wikipedia believe that only they are qualified to edit a large swath of topics and biographies on Wikipedia, and they seek to purge other editors from those articles or Wikipedia itself. Skeptic activists take this very seriously and treat Wikipedia like a battlefield for their activism, where online harassment and slander and bullying and character assassinations and public shaming are all used as tactics to control editing permissions on the world's largest repository of knowledge. End quote. We are also gradually discovering that Wikipedia itself has been supporting certain creeds, networks of private organizations and corporate interests, and political support groups that enforce dangerous ideologies while diligently collaborating with chosen third parties to silence or censor critics and opposition. This is certainly in direct violation of Wikipedia's mission and Wales's consistent statements that he opposes censorship and surveillance. If that is the case, and let's give him the benefit of a doubt, then why is it that we have found this in our own original investigations? For example, societies and organizations identified with the national skeptic and scientific materialist movements are very prominent and granted free editorial reign on Wikipedia. Their technical sophistication has hijacked large amounts of the encyclopedia's content and manipulated it to disseminate their rationalist and reductionist doctrines. Very valid scientific information concerning medicine and health are jeopardized and deleted and ignored. The site embraces the conventional pharmaceutical drug-based paradigm. Complementary and natural medical disciplines and treatments and alternative doctors and practitioners are regularly denounced and castigated. On the other hand, skeptics' biographies and organizations' own Wikipedia entries are without fault and consistently full of praise. Editors who attempt to add factual and referenced evidence, which may taint skepticism's shining image, are immediately blocked or edits are quickly removed. Many editors who try to correct these pages are censored or banned from editing pages, as is our own case, although they may have years or even decades of experience and expertise on a given subject. In this series, we will focus attention upon one especially pernicious ideological network of individuals and organizations that has made enormous and successful strides in hijacking Wikipedia's editorial platform. There is no single title that adequately gathers them under a single umbrella. However, they all share a similar philosophy that embraces what we'll call rational science-based skepticism. Small s skepticism itself is a healthy exercise for discerning truths and falsehoods. That I would support. Wikipedia would fare far better if it practiced healthier skepticism towards its own editorial allies. Who judges the judge? Who criticizes with expertise the editors who may not have any actual experience in a given field? However, in this particular investigative report, we capitalized skepticism to refer to an actual movement of independent individuals and groups, including one of skepticism's subsets called the science-based medicine, which share a mutual belief system and engage in internet harassment based upon the principles of behavior modification common to cults. Modern skepticism is a continuation of earlier scientism founded by the early naturalists who declared that the only thing that exists in the natural world and everything else is unfounded and therefore illusory and to be shunned. It follows the old tired adage that, quote, I will only believe what I can see, smell, taste, touch, and hear. In short, scientism, in Swedish philosopher Mikael Stenmark's words, is based upon the epistemic principle, quote, there is nothing outside the domain of science, nor is there any area of human life to which science cannot successfully be applied. Skepticism purports to be rational, yet simultaneously is incapable of discerning other forms of non-scientific truth, such as ethical or moral or metaphysical or aesthetic truths. Although the scientific method is incapable of ascertaining or disproving other truths, nevertheless, they too follow reason and logic, often very, very rigorous as skepticism's reductionist determination. In essence, they believe that the only reality that exists in life is one that science has proven. Hence your faith, those who believe in religions, are immediately excluded. For example, it may not be the case that science can yet accurately comprehend whether or not homeopathy is effective, but for tens of millions of people around the planet, homeopathy has treated many serious medical conditions. For over 200 years, Samuel Hahnemann founded homeopathy medicine. Countless numbers of people witness illnesses and symptoms disappear, and they were healed. Skeptics have absolutely no proof that homeopathy's positive effects are due to the placebo effect alone, which is their only explanation to account for homeopath's success. Yet for all skeptics, homeopathy is nothing but quackery. And as we will describe later, Wikipedia agrees with them. The skeptic's only defense is plausibility. That is, in the absence of clinical research, which only they are willing to accept, they rely instead upon flawed faculty of reason and logic to decide whether homeopathy is plausible. And yet, as they condemn homeopathy and say that it's quackery, we have found numerous high-quality studies in the peer-reviewed literature supporting homeopathy. But they also attack other disciplines, as you will see. In each case where they attack many of these disciplines, we have found thousands, actually tens of thousands of articles, high-quality standard articles in peer-reviewed literature that support the very treatments that they are and modalities they are condemning. So why is it that the mainstream media, why is it that the scientific community has not challenged them? The fact that you do not believe something does not mean that it's not believable. Do you have a background in it? Have you studied it? Have you practiced it? And the answer is always no, but we're an expert on it in any case. So this is the same rationale voiced by one of the science-based medicine's leading inspirations, Dr. Stephen Barrett, founder of QuackWatch, when asked during an interview why he only disparaged alternative medicine, does not critique modern conventional medicine, Barrett noted that he lacks sufficient expertise in the medical field. Openly, Barrett confesses that his efforts to debunk alternative medicine is solely based on his personal opinion, which he has the right to do, as to whether alternative modalities are plausible. But has he spent the decades in the field, as thousands of medical doctors, board-certified professors have, and found that plant-based diets can reverse disease, you can reverse diabetes and other conditions? No, he has not. Has he treated any of these patients with diabetes or cancer or heart disease or high blood pressure or depression or anxiety with alternative therapies that have been written about in peer-reviewed literature? No, he has not. So then, why is he considered an expert? And the people actually healing people, not. This is the duality. This is the hypocrisy. This is the gross in-your-face contradiction that you will be exposed to. Full-time science-based medicine militant, Dr. Hall in Atwood, and the nation's leading promoter of vaccines, Dr. Paul Offit, my research, my opinion, shows that they lack experimental knowledge about alternative medicine modalities and nutrition. Rather than being truly scientific, it is my opinion that they hypocritically hide behind the irrational methodology of a faux notion of validity. I have a background myself in nutrition. I have degrees from respected, accredited schools. Therefore, when I sit across from a person, I know what I'm looking for and how I might be able to help that person when it comes to their nutrition. They have no degrees in nutrition. They're not a registered dietitian. So how could they decide that what I'm doing is quackery when they have no expertise personally or academic background professionally? Surely this should be clear to most people, but this part of the argument is never discussed. Categorically, skepticism espouses either the agnostic belief. However, all the celebrity skeptics admire Richard Dawkins and the British evolutionary biologist who is recognized as the father of the new atheism. Dawkins' endless mission to publicly preach an intolerant view of atheism has made him deserving of an international award for having offended more human beings than anyone in recent history. So you take an avowed atheist as an expert? On what exactly? The Center for Inquiry, the umbrella organization that serves as the mother chapel for the skeptic movement, fully embraces Dawkins' atheistic scientism. In 2016, Richard Dawkins Foundation for Reason and Science merged with the Center for Inquiry. Its stated mission is to, quote, foster a secular society based upon reason, science, freedom of inquiry, and humanistic values. Laudable words, but the center failed horribly, in my opinion, to tolerate, let alone respect, the freedom of others to their beliefs and the freedom to choose a medical interpretation of their choice. Any discipline of inquiry that is performed outside the center's narrow interpretation of science is condemned as heresy, exposed and publicly maligned. Everything that deals with religion and spirituality, the paranormal, unexplained phenomena, energy medicine, alternative and natural medicine, homeopathy, chiropractor, oriental medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, body-mind medicine, no. Other leading major skeptic groups are the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, the Council for Secular Humanism, the James Randi Educational Foundation, and Science-Based Medicine-related Commission for Scientific Medicine and Mental Health. Now, they all have a right to exist. They have a right for their opinion. But do they have a right to establish that their truth is the only truth, their doctrine is the only doctrine? The latter publishes the Scientific Review of Alternative Medicine, founded by skeptics Wallace Sampson at Stanford University and Paul Kurtz from the Committee for Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal. The publication makes the narcissistic claim of being the only journal that properly analyzes alternative medical claims. However, on at least three separate occasions, this highly biased, one-sided interpretation of medicine failed to be recognized by the National Library of Medicine for inclusion into the National Institutes of Health Medline's PubMed Registry of Reliable Medical and Healthcare Publications, the world's largest source for peer-reviewed medical literature. Wikipedia, on the other hand, has permitted the journal the status of being referenced as a legitimate, reliable source for criticism against alternative medicine. During a TED Talk shortly after 9/11, Dawkins made his plea for, quote, militant atheism, although he was specifically calling for an unapologetic and disrespectful rationalist crusade against religions. His fundamental premise has been embraced throughout the skeptic movement in its efforts to silence and ridicule and demonize all who advocate alternative medicine and question conventional pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines and industrial and genetically modified foods and pesticides and junk food industry, etc. Those you're not allowed to criticize. Interesting, because it took 5 years of methodical research, but five MD PhDs, or MDs and PhDs, myself included, used only orthodox medicine's statistics and came up with the figure that medicine, as currently practiced and has been practiced for the last 40 years in the United States, is the number one cause of death and injury each year in the United States. We published this report. It was called Death by Medicine. It was fully cited, fully referenced. We sent it out to over 7,000 publications, journalists, scientific groups, and received not a single response. Now, the AMA has listed iatrogenesis, or medically induced death, as the third leading cause of death, but they had left out several categories that are clearly iatrogenic, like infections you develop when you go into a hospital, malnutrition that you die from when you go into a hospital. When you add these other categories together, it's number one, meaning more Americans die each year at the hands of orthodox medicine than die from cancer or diabetes or stroke or heart disease. You would think that with so much that does not work within orthodox medicine, that there would be room for critical interpretation and input. Think again. So on the one hand, those doctors and nutritionists and nurses and dentists and chiropractors and others who are helping to guide people towards a healthier lifestyle are condemned, irrespective of how many people they're helping, and those who are actually causing death and harm are praised. That is how absurd this has become. So, for the most zealot of the skeptics, scientific so-called truths guided solely by their sense of reason is the only religion humanity should follow. Reason, nothing else. It identifies itself as an intelligentsia and praises its superiority as a humanoid subspecies above anyone who questions or challenges their faith in scientific reductionism. In his book, When Atheism Becomes Religion, Pulitzer Prize journalist Chris Hedges presents the argument that this extreme mindset, cloaked in the god of reason and science alone, is today's new fundamentalism, because science is solely concerned with discovering facts about our materialistic existence. Scientism, skepticism, is neutral towards universal human values and ethics aside from cold values that science offers. Commenting on scientism's determinist ideology, Robert Wuthnow, chairman of Princeton's sociological department, writes, "Scientists are drunk on hubris, in it for the money or their own glory, and sadly incapable of any humility," end quote. Anyone reading the blogs and articles composed by the medical doctors leading the science-based medicine movement will quickly observe the pretentious conceit noted by Wuthnow. But science-based medicine propaganda goes beyond the confines of rationalist critiques of alternative medicine's claims. They express a contemptuous disdain and vile hatred towards practitioners and advocates of the alternative medical paradigm and anyone who questions the conventional medical establishment. But think for a moment. I just finished interviewing for a new film, Dr. Dean Ornish. Ornish is quite simply the pioneer. He was the one who 40 years ago was the first to prove by every gold standard of good quality medicine and science that by taking a group of people who had advanced heart disease requiring stents or bypass, he was able to reverse their conditions using a lifestyle that today would be considered by anyone in this audience as quite normal, and with thousands of articles from the peer-reviewed journal backing it up. A plant-based healthy diet, exercise, and stress management can reverse many diseases. And yet he was the first to do it, and he published in the New England Journal of Medicine. He also published in The Lancet. He did the study twice. So we have the hard evidence of a doctor who was orthodox trained, did all the right things, and yet took a different approach. Well, if he's saving lives and reversing disease, and then a whole school of doctors who came after him used his techniques, his writings, and they helped themselves as well as their patients, shouldn't that be a topic for an open and valid discussion? How to prevent disease. But the skeptics would argue differently. The moment that doctor, the thousands who now use alternative methods, broke free of using the strict practices and the paradigms that they're allowed to, then they're no longer considered credible. So in other words, you can be cursed for helping a patient reverse a disease if you're a medical doctor, but doing it without drugs is wrong. And you're praised if your patients die, but you use the orthodox paradigm of science-based medicine. Is there something that doesn't make sense in that scenario? During a lecture in 1959, British chemist and novelist C.P. Snow challenged our civilization's move towards an over-reliance upon scientific rationality as a means of solving world problems. Snow explained how this failure, which science and technology is in isolation will continue to experience repeatedly, is due to scientific institutions having removed themselves from the humanities, which otherwise provide human value with moral guidance. The consequence is that science will become increasingly technological, and this may lead to dire futures, including a rise of new postmodern programs of eugenics and genocide. Scientism's hubris is grounded in the inflated belief that history is on its side. Certainly Wikipedia is on its side, at least those editors who have taken control. For this reason, it becomes intolerant and impatient with other disciplines that also claim to hold universal values. Consequently, Professor Snow warned that science is racing to sequester itself from the most precious elements that make us humans. Science then becomes amoral. Likewise, the entire skepticism movement, in my opinion, is morally bankrupt, incapable of piercing through its nearsighted lens. Science writer John Horgan further sheds light on the darker underpinnings of irrationality of skepticism, including a few of the leading voices within the science-based medicine cult. In his recommended article, published in Scientific America, quote, "Dear skeptics, bash homeopathy and Bigfoot less, mammographies, and war more. Horgan targets a crucial failure in popular skepticism today. He writes, quote, "I'm a science journalist. I don't celebrate science. I criticize it because science needs critics more than cheerleaders. I point out gaps between scientific hype and reality. That keeps me busy because, as you know, most peer-reviewed scientific claims are wrong," end quote. The skeptics and their scientism have become tribal, he states. Quote, "They pat each other on the back and tell each other how smart they are compared to those outside the tribe. But belonging to a tribe often makes us dumber," end quote. Dumb indeed. Worse, exceedingly dangerous. Wikipedia skeptics, in my opinion, who cling upon the words of science-based medicine gurus, is a curious mix of Orwellian fascism and quirky technological totalitarianism, which Aldous Huxley warned about in 1958, follow-up to Brave New World. A world of scientific McCarthyism is the utopia that pray to, and by conventional definitions of fascism and totalitarianism don't accept accurately apply. Instead, skepticism is the darker side of liberalism, with notable parallels to Ayn Rand's objectivist and autocratic absolution. These are the liberals who find no fault in bombing Muslim nations back into the pre-Islamic sands of Arabia, criminalizing faith healing as physical abuse, and stamp out currencies in the science we trust. Yet it is important to make one observation clear. Science-based medicine is perhaps today's greatest threat to the future of physical and mental health of the nation, and well beyond for many Americans. It is solely an ideological public relations campaign to promulgate a totalitarian dogma with McCarthyism's interrogations that alternative medicine modalities are perilous to public health and therefore should be avoided and preferably banned. It doesn't conduct nor fund critical research. Families who reject vaccination of their children, according to science-based medicine, physicians ought to be charged with child abuse and have their children placed into the care of the state to lead miserable lives of psychological degradation and abuse in foster homes and institutions. In short, science-based medicine is the harbinger of medical McCarthyism, and as we will see in Part 2 tomorrow, the science-based medicine movement and its allies in the skeptic organizations are succeeding in their mission through their collective collaboration and support from Wikipedia. Another serious threat our nation faces from science-based medicine is that the movement is systematically infected with what we call the gene mean. In a Scientific America article, Horgan calls it, quote, "gene whiz science." He writes, quote, "Over the past several decades, geneticists have announced the discovery of genes for virtually every trait or disorder. We've got a God gene, a gay gene, an alcoholism gene, a warrior gene, a liberal gene, an intelligence gene, a schizophrenia gene, and on and on. None of these linkages of single genes to complex traits or disorders has been confirmed. None. But gene whiz claims keep coming," end quote. Novella and others of the science-based medicine gurus are the extreme champions of gene whiz science, yet simultaneously they remain petrified of the potential conclusions to be drawn from environmental epigenetic research that challenges the scientific credibility of gene determinism. He is adamant that autism is genetic, inherited, and has no association whatsoever with vaccines. And while we agree that many autism cases involve muted genes, categorically blaming parental inheritance is questionable since this denies epigenetic evidence. In fact, a University of Montreal review of 100-plus genes now identified with autism found that the majority of these genes, quote, "these autism genes were de novo genes, fetal polymorphisms occurring in the womb and therefore likely associated with external environmental trigger, including toxic chemicals as aluminum or mercury in vaccines. They may pass the placenta barrier and pregnant mother." So it's not true. The second threat to national health is Wikipedia's unguarded open editing platform. It is irrefutable that the Foundation's tight relationship with militant skepticism has given license to trolls and sock puppets to dominate the flow of information about disease prevention and treatment. By hijacking these platforms, skeptics have risen through the encyclopedia's editorial ranks to grasp greater administrative authority to censor opposing voices. Is Wikipedia also a part of, quote, the behavior modification empire Jaron Lanier had warned us about? Tomorrow, I will go further on this. You heard me right. We have a lot of people who are coming forward to talk about what's really behind the people controlling social media. Wikipedia is only one of them. Have a nice day.